Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
It's time for Conscious Parenting with Sandra Jones Keller and family. Welcome back. Let's get you to reintroduce yourself, your show, and what's up for today.
Thank you, Nicole. I hope all is well with you. Hello, and welcome to the Conscious Parenting Show. I am Sandra Jones Keller. I'm a conscious parenting coach and author, and I'm joined today by my husband, Thomas.
Hello.
And our 18-year-old daughter, who's off camera. Say hello, Mecca.
Hi.
So we're broadcasting live on News for the Soul Radio, and we're streaming live on YouTube today. So if you've been wondering what we look like, you can go to my channel, Sandra Jones Keller, on YouTube, and we are appearing live.
We are.
This is actually our 24th show, for those of you who are just finding us. Usually we're here on the second Friday of the month, but today is the third Friday, mm-hmm. So we're going live today. They had some technical problems last week. Email your questions to ontheair@telus.net or call in to 646-595-4274 or post your comments here on YouTube. And once again, we're live on YouTube at Sandra Jones Keller. That's my channel. So maybe you have questions about discipline or bedtime or tantrums. Whatever is on your mind, we'll do our best to answer it. So I'm excited. So today we're going to be talking about the four types of parenting styles as defined by the National Institutes of Health. So what you'll notice is that conscious parenting isn't listed.
That's because we're the fifth style.
We are the fifth style. All right, so the four parenting styles are, what's the first one, Thomas?
The first one is authoritarian. Authoritarian parents establish strict rules that the child obeys.
Mm-hmm.
There's little to no room for negotiations from the child, and the rules are not usually explained. They expect their children to uphold these standards while making no errors. Mistakes usually lead to punishment. Authoritarian parents are normally less nurturing and have high expectations with limited flexibility.
Okay, and so now I'm going to talk about authoritative parenting. So this type of parent normally develops a close, nurturing relationship with their children. They have clear guidelines for their expectations and explain the reasons associated with disciplinary actions. Disciplinary methods are used as a way of support instead of punishment. Not only can children have input into goals and expectations, but there are also frequent and appropriate levels of communication between the parent and their child. In general, this parenting style leads to the healthiest outcomes for children, but requires a lot of patience and effort on both parties.
All right.
What's the third type, Thomas?
The third is permissive parenting. Permissive parents tend to be warm, nurturing, and usually have minimal or no expectations. They impose limited rules on their children. Communication remains open, but parents allow their children to figure things out for themselves. These low levels of expectation usually result in rare uses of discipline. They act more like friends than parents.
And the last one, and these are for those of you just joining us, these are the four parenting styles as defined by the National Institutes of Health. And so the last one that they define is the uninvolved parent. Children are given a lot of freedom, as this type of parent normally stays out of the way. They fulfill the child's basic needs while generally remaining detached from the child's life. An uninvolved parent does not utilize a particular discipline style and has limited amount of communication with their child. They tend to offer a low amount of nurturing while having either few or no expectations of their children. Woo-hoo. So those are the four parenting styles as defined by the National Institutes of Health. We're broadcasting live on News for the Soul Radio. Email your questions to ontheair@telus.net or call in to 646-595-4274. Or we're live on YouTube today, trying something new. My YouTube channel is Sandra Jones Keller. So what do you think?
I think it's great. I think we are rolling. I love this conversation.
Okay. So as I stated earlier, conscious parenting is not one of the main styles. So where do you feel conscious parenting falls given this list?
Well, I actually was earlier in the week looking at this list, and I started to see where conscious parenting might fit in, a blend between this one and that one, and I quickly came to the conclusion that it can't be blended to any of them because our very first come from, the beginning of conscious parenting, is different from all of the four of them.
Okay. So I have a little different take. So if you were to try to find where conscious parenting fits, I think it actually kind of falls in a little bit with authoritative parenting. And if you're on the outside looking in, some people may think it's permissive parenting. But it's definitely not permissive parenting because as conscious parents, we're providing guidance. So conscious parents is seeing your child as an intelligent, conscious being with their own, life purpose that is separate from yours.
Now, which one of those four has that as their beginning point?
Okay, so wait a minute. So none of them have that as a beginning
point.
That's
what I'm saying.
Okay, but so like when you look at some of the attributes of authoritative parenting,
yes.
Develops a close, nurturing relationship, has clear guidelines for their expectations. Okay, so maybe not that. And then the permissive parents tend to be warm, nurturing, and usually have minimal or no expectations. That's not true. We do not have minimal or no expectations.
We don't have to because she knows universal law. We've taught her that.
Okay, so you already threw in universal law and we're only 10 minutes into the show?
It's nothing like those four things. Nothing like it.
Okay, so since you mentioned universal law, you're going to have to explain what universal law is.
I'd still like to back it up to the very beginning of parenting. Who do you think this baby coming in is?
Are you asking me or are you asking the
I'm
audience?
I'm asking you as a general thing. Is this a weak thing? Who do you think this baby is? What's the beginning come from?
It's kind of an unfair question for me because when I was pregnant, I developed intuitive two-way communication with our daughter while she was in my belly. So I had conscious conversations where I would ask her questions and she would answer back.
Right.
So for me, I knew she was an intelligent, conscious being.
Well, I'm just saying the fact that you had two-way conversations with her automatically says to me that you don't think of her as this little, feeble, broke baby coming into this world that you have to guide and direct and teach and mold and create into something.
Absolutely not. I mean, she literally, I had a high-risk pregnancy because I had two large fibroid tumors at the base of my uterus. So I had a high-risk pregnancy, and I was already 42. So the prognosis for me was pretty dire. And with her guidance, I was able to navigate the high-risk pregnancy. The prediction was I would be 3 months premature, I would be bedridden for most of the pregnancy, and I would have a scheduled C-section.
So what actually happened?
I did have a scheduled C-section, but I worked part-time up until the weekend before she was born, and I was never bedridden. And I did that because I worked with her to figure out what I needed to do to carry her full term.
Right.
Because I was committed that she wouldn't be born prematurely. So in answer to your question, given that I have this communication and I'm an energy healer, so I already work with energy, then I was able to connect with her before she was born, and I already got a sense of her personality. She was very clear. She was very certain. And what's even funny, she has a very minimal amount of words. Like even when I was pregnant, I would say, okay, how are you doing, Mecca? What do you need? I'm fine, Mom. Take care of yourself. Like that was her whole mantra through the pregnancy.
And she's 18 now and still uses very minimal words.
Mecca, how do people reach us, hon?
You can email your questions to ontheair@telus.net or call into 646-595-4274 or post your questions in the YouTube live stream at your YouTube channel, Sandra Jones Keller.
All right. Thank you so much. Okay, so we've established that conscious parenting doesn't really fit into any of these molds. And why I say if you're on the outside looking in for permissive parenting, because some people think that because we act as guides and wayshowers, because we create a partnership with her for parenting, then it's about, oh, she gets to do what she wants. But it's not that, because we're there providing guidance. We're there teaching universal laws. We're there teaching mirroring.
And we're there demonstrating universal laws by the way we live.
By the way we live. So absolutely. So there definitely is not permissive parenting inside of conscious parenting.
Right.
Okay, so you keep talking about universal laws.
Yes.
Say something about universal laws.
Well, that also brings in, first off, a major universal law is that cause and effect, that whatever you do creates an effect. Whatever you think creates an effect. It's the same as do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So whatever you're thinking or doing to other people is going to come back to you. It's just going to come back to you. That's it. It's universal law, cause and effect.
And so when you parent from using universal law, and you may have heard of it referred to as the golden rule. That's
what it was.
Yeah, that's universal law. Do as to others as you would have them do unto you. So our parenting is, don't lie because it's bad, or don't steal because it's bad. It's universal law says that if you steal, you'll be stolen from.
Right.
If you lie, you'll be lied to, because the law is impersonal. And we cannot protect you from the consequences of your own actions, thoughts, and behaviors. So we may not ever know what you are doing or not doing. But because of universal law, then it's always in effect whether you're aware of it or not. And then the beauty of that is you're teaching kids to have agency over their life. You're not running around as a parent with a microscope trying to find everything that they're doing, mm-hmm. because universal law states if you lie, you'll be lied to. So if you teach your child consequences,
mm-hmm.
how their thoughts impact, then if there's something going on in their life that they don't like, they have a starting place.
Yes, and that's why it can appear as permissive parenting, mm-hmm. because we're not jumping all over them, telling them to don't do this, don't do mm-hmm. that, because we've already taught by our actions and our words that whatever you're thinking or doing is going to come back to you. Then we just wait for the consequences, and that says everything.
So talk about mirroring. I love your explanation.
Then they can experience their thoughts being projected back to them, mm-hmm. and that's the consequences. So mirroring,
talk about mirroring.
It's also called mirroring. It's the same thing. The mirroring means to me that whatever I think or say or whatever I haven't – all right, let's back it up and make it more simple. Mirroring means my consciousness is a film projector, and the physical world I see, the people in it, the people closest to me – are projections of my consciousness, in that the way they behave to me, the way they talk and are around me, is a reflection of all my consciousness. A lot of times I love what they're reflecting back to me. Most of the time I'm indifferent to what they're reflecting back to me. And sometimes I'm very disturbed by what they're reflecting back to me, because not because they're doing it, but because it says to me, uh-oh, where am I being a liar, or where am I being aggressive, unwarranted, or where am I being stealing, or whatever it is. And that's the things we look for to transform in ourselves, the things that disturb us.
And so what happens? Okay, so I'm going to give you an example of, of mirroring.
Yeah.
So I was talking to a mom, and she was talking about how her five-year-old had started telling white lies and was going around the house kind of hitting everybody, trying to control them. And so as a conscious parenting coach, I listen, unless people really ask me something. And so I finally just said, well, what's going on in the house? Like, what do you mean? Well, who is hitting people? and who's telling white lies.
Mm-hmm.
And so it took a minute, and she finally said, oh, yeah, I've been kind of popping her on the arm to control her behavior, and I've been lying about not having any more gum. So instead of just saying, no, you can't have any more, she was lying. So those little white lies, so we're talking
right.
about mirroring,
right.
so the little white lies that she was telling was going out into the world.
Mm-hmm.
Her daughter was then projecting it back to her.
Mm-hmm.
And so mirroring is not about behavior modification. And that's the beauty of this, because you can punish children to try to get them to behave, but if you're the one that is lying or hitting or stealing, then that behavior is going to keep showing up in your face
right.
until you get it.
Right.
And so with mirroring, then, you see the behavior, you look to see where it's going on, and maybe what you're thinking, maybe you're thinking about stealing, because it still registers in the universe,
mm-hmm.
or maybe you're thinking about trying to get over. So then you start cleaning that up. And what I mean by that is you've got to knock off the behavior. If you don't want to see lying in front of you, even white lies, whatever lies you, then you got to stop lying. If you don't want to see your child hitting other people, you got to stop hitting.
But it's a little more than that. You got to stop the behavior, but you also have to forgive that energy in yourself that caused you to lie, steal, or hit.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the only way the energy will not resurface in you and be shown back to you by your kids or loved ones.
And so all forgiveness is self-forgiveness.
Exactly.
So I use a process called Ho'oponopono, made popular by Dr. Hugh Lin. You can use whatever process you want, but the point is that you want to forgive yourself. And there have been many times over Mecca's lifetime where I've seen behavior in myself where I had to clean it up. So what does that mean? It means like, wow, I'm sorry I did X, Y, and Z.
Right.
And, you know, my commitment is not to be that or not to do that. So you clean it up. You clean it up with your kid. And, I mean, growing up, I don't think I ever heard I'm sorry or any explanation
right.
other than trying to control my behavior.
Let's give them another story example, a real-life example, because that's a great way to let it sink in is by giving examples.
Okay, so do you have another example?
Very simple. I got diagnosed with a tiny dot of melanoma 8 years ago, something like that. And that was my first diagnosis that was horrifying and shocking to me, a physical diagnosis. And so I tried to handle it the best I could. I didn't know what I was doing, but I was trying to make peace with it while awaiting the surgery. And I was very nervous, obviously, and in shock, but didn't realize it. But I was upset trying to be calm.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter started having an upset stomach a lot, right?
Like out of the blue. Like
out of
all
the
of a sudden, everything she ate, like upset her stomach. Well, not only were you upset, though, so like a few months before that, my dad had passed away from cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So I was more sensitive to, it was a different kind of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So I was actually terrified. So I made the leap in my head of like, oh, my gosh, my husband has cancer now. So I was trying to hold it together. And internally, my stomach was upset. I was scared.
Mm-hmm.
I was scared of losing you. I was scared of what this meant. Melanoma is the most dangerous form of skin cancer because it can actually go into your lymph nodes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something that has to be dealt with because it can become very dangerous.
So to simplify it all down, my daughter's stomach aches were a reflection to me in that I thought I was digesting the information okay, but I really wasn't. I was dissociated from my feelings and myself, and it was reflected in my daughter having stomach aches. That's how I actually knew that I really wasn't okay with it, because my mind's tricky. My surface mind will tell you you're okay when you're not.
Yeah. And that's the beauty of it, because when she was getting these stomach aches, I was like, oh, well, maybe I need to take her to the doctor, you know, try to figure out, because I don't know what to do. Nothing seems to be working. And then I went to Louise Hay, Heal your body, which is my medical Bible, and I look to see what stomach aches represented. Louise Hay's book is about the metaphysical causes of physical symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
So I look, and stomach aches was about dread.
Okay.
Fear and dread and the inability to digest. So I was like, ow, yeah. And so we both had to individually do our own forgiveness work on the fear that we were experiencing, because it didn't do any good to talk to Mecca and say, oh, everything's going to be okay, when inside I wasn't feeling that.
Right. And so I had to do as Sandra just said, but I also had to accept that I was not at peace at it and let myself begin to feel the disturbance in some way so that I could actually process it and forgive it.
Yeah,
that's it. And then once I did, once we did, their stomachs disappeared.
Well, actually, though, it was once you had the surgery and we got the all clear that you were cancer-free, they were able to get it all. And it was just like I felt my insides go, I felt my insides relax.
Right. But let's be very clear. It wasn't the surgery itself. It was the idea that the surgery had taken care of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was... It was the process of owning it and forgiving myself, because the minute I got the diagnosis, I knew the judgments, negative judgments I'd been holding for a lifetime that had created such a dangerous illness on my face. And I started doing my forgiveness work on those judgments well before the surgery, which was booked only a few days after the diagnosis. So I was on it immediately like that.
Yeah. And so if your kids are experiencing chronic stomach aches or headaches or something, you know, I suggest, you know, look at Louise Hay or tune into your intuition and see if you can get to the bottom of it to figure out maybe what's going on in the house that could be creating this. For us, it was stomach aches. Now, I could have taken her to the doctor, they probably would have prescribed medicine to make her stomach feel better, but that wasn't the cause of the stomach ache.
That's exactly right.
And so that's why, you know, I love this work.
And just a side note, it's been 9-10 years now, no repetition, screenings every once a year.
Yeah. Okay, so Mecca, so you are 18 now. So how do you feel about our parenting style?
I think it's a pretty good parenting style. Yeah, it's not like gentle parenting, which is also permissive parenting, because gentle parenting isn't always very efficient. And then it's not like authoritative?
Authoritative. No, authoritarian. Yeah.
Authoritarian parenting, where it's like the one who controls everything and doesn't actually, like, comfort their kid in a way that would work for the kid, or, like, just tries to control everything. So I think it's a good in-between.
And so you have, well, you know, this is, like, the only way that we've really parented. You've gotten, you know, over the years we grow and we get better, but you were talking yesterday about coddling children. So say something about that. And would that be considered gentle parenting, or where does that fall into what you were talking about?
I think that specific instance is not even like gentle parenting. That's like something else. That's its own little thing. What was the question, like, why?
What you thought of that situation where the parent was just, like, really trying to push the child and protect the child and make up all kinds of things about it.
Yeah, no, that's not, don't coddle your children too much. Because then when they have to actually, like, experience disappointment or experience other people being mean to them or something, they're not going to have any skills to deal with that. And they're either just going to shut down or throw fits. And then they're going to become even worse as they get older, because they've been like that for so long, that time to build foundational skills of how the kid can regulate their emotions. So then they're going to turn into an adult who throws fits and can't handle criticism and can't handle disappointment. So, like, letting your kid learn how to regulate emotions and deal with actual other people and instances of less positive emotions will help them in the long run.
You know, and as a parent, I know that can be difficult sometimes because you're a figure skater. And there have been times when you were upset about a routine after a competition.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I would want to come to you and try to comfort you. And you would say, you know, pretty much leave me alone, or actually you would just go off in the corner. And so as parents, you know, we want to comfort our children, but what were you doing when you would just go off by yourself? What was your process?
I was doing my own version of self-regulating, where I just sit. Like, if I wasn't at a competition, I would have taken a nap. That's how I deal with any problem. I just go to sleep or just lay down for like 3 hours, and that works. So that's what works for me, is just going away and just kind of quieting down and processing. But, you know, it's different for everyone.
So how did you discover that that works for you?
I think that's what I've always done. Kind of natural instinct, you know. My guides told me. I think it just came naturally.
All right. You have questions for her, or were we
going
to say?
No, I think just so people know, we all have this family has a lot of sense of humor about spirituality, about parenting, about teasing each other. So don't be surprised.
Oh, when she was just making fun of us in our parenting style. That's okay, because when I look at who you've become as a young lady, which is, I think, quite remarkable, then I'm happy with our parenting style. It doesn't mean that
it's
perfect.
It's remarkable, the word you're really looking for, because with Totter cause and effect, universal law, it's almost like, what else would you expect?
Yes, remarkable is the word.
All right, let's move on.
I'm using the word that I want to use.
But wait a minute.
You can use whatever word you want to use.
I think it's wonderful. We would not appear as permissive parents because we let her experience the consequences of her actions.
And so there are instances where I have been perceived as being irresponsible, or worse yet, negligent, when at 4 years old, Mecca decided that 9:30 was too early of a bedtime for her. And we used to have this wonderful nighttime routine where I'd read her a story, I'd tuck her in, and that worked great for years. And then she decided, like, she would get up, we would fight, she would howl, she would bang on the bed if I tried to ignore her.
Mm-hmm.
And so I came up with what I thought was a brilliant solution, a bedtime alarm that went off at 12:45 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And why people were appalled is like, how can you let your four-year-old stay up to 1 o'clock in the morning?
Mm-hmm.
And what I looked at was that her natural circadian rhythm was similar to mine. I like to stay up late. She likes to stay up late. I like to sleep in. She likes to sleep in. We were planning on homeschooling, and we had already kind of started the process. And so once I got you on board, because you missed all the drama because you were asleep, and so once I got you on board, I put some guideline place to support us.
Right.
And so that's why it wasn't permissive parenting, because she had guidelines. I watched to make sure that she was getting enough sleep.
Mm-hmm.
But what it did, and people couldn't believe this, like at 12:45, her alarm would go off, and she had to stop whatever she was doing, brush her teeth, use the bathroom, and get in bed. And she was able to do this at 4 years old because I created an agreement with her. And so some of the guidelines were, you know, after story time, you can play quietly in your room, but no electronics. If we have something to do in the morning, you have to get up. If you have a project that needs help, do find something you can do on your own, because I don't want to be on mommy duty all night. And if you become a cranky and unpleasant child, you'll have to get up early.
Right.
And so these were guidelines that we worked through, and she agreed on. So at 4 years old, she was able to self-regulate, commit to an agreement, and keep the agreement. So she was personally responsible for how she got into bed. And so that is the beauty of conscious parenting. Okay, let's see. What is this? Question for sure. I can't find the live link.
All right, we're just getting updated on some technology here. Here's a question from Molly in Detroit. My 11-year-old...
Sorry.
Oh, stop it.
Sorry.
My 11-year-old son has been stealing things from friends, neighbors, and even a couple stores. I've tried both talking with him and consequences like grounding and no TV time. Nothing is improving. How would you handle this?
Well, we just talked about.
When did that come through?
I know.
It's all about mirroring and conscious parenting. So your 11-year-old is reflecting to you possibly where you are stealing.
Someone in the house.
Or in the, is stealing, or also known as taking,
mm-hmm.
and it can be taken energetically. It can be taken physically or just energetically. Where is somebody taking? Where is what else has it been? Just stealing, well, just from different places.
Yeah.
So it's primarily taking or stealing, and so you have to do a little soul searching and go a little deeper and maybe even a little more honest with yourself and see where possibly you are taking, you are a taker, or you're actually stealing in the physical world.
Yeah, you can be an energetic taker. And the thing about universal law is, like, our thoughts, like, you know, there's really no difference between what I'm thinking and what I'm actually doing.
Right.
So if I'm thinking, like, oh, I could take that, or if I'm thinking about how can I get over,
mm-hmm.
then those register in the universe is taking, and do I have a name?
Yeah.
Molly. And so, Molly, I shared a story earlier about a mom that I was talking to where her daughter had started telling white lies, and she had started hitting people mm-hmm. to try to control them. And what the mom realized after our conversation is that she had been telling white lies about, oh, I don't have any more gum, instead of saying, no, you just can't have any more gum. And she had been, you know, bopping her daughter on the arm to try to control her. And so she had not put her actions together with her daughter's behavior. And so when you talk about mirroring, where everyone is a reflection of myself, then what you're seeing, so there's taking or stealing going around somewhere. And like I said, maybe you're not physically going to a store and stealing, but there are thoughts of how can I get over? How can I, you know, maybe it's taking pins from the office or staplers or those little pads, those little notepads, those things that seem innocent, or taking stuff from a hotel. Like, you know, I know I've known people that take pillows from a hotel or the rose from the hotel. And so, like, all of these things are still taking, no matter how we try to justify them. So hold on. And so you are where you are now, Molly. And so what is there to do? What there is to do is to just start paying attention. Pay attention to your thoughts. Pay attention to what's going on in the house. Pay attention to maybe if you have a partner or a mate, like, are they one to take things? So start paying attention. And then do your forgiveness work. Because conscious parenting is not about behavior modification. It's not about I can do whatever I want over here, and then you as my child have to do as I say. It's about cleaning up our consciousness as parents and then have that be the mirror and the reflection that goes out. So observe and then forgive and then see what shows up.
And
so go ahead.
And it's great news, Molly. It seemed like bad news, but it's actually great because your son won't be able to stop until somebody nails that in the family
yeah.
and knocks it off. And you'll know the minute it is healed or transformed is when your son knocks it off. And he won't even know what happened. He
yeah.
just will not do it anymore.
Yeah, because you can't behavior modify, especially in this energy that we're in. We just had a huge solar eclipse on April 8th, and so all of this light is pouring into the planet. The veil is getting thinner. So what that means is it's faster between our actions and the consequences.
Right.
So before you may have, it's almost immediate where now you have to pay attention. Whereas before maybe you said or did something and then 3, 4 months, a year, something similar happened and it was so far out that you didn't put your actions together with the consequences.
Right.
But now it's so fast. What?
Let's get back to more practical stuff.
That's
You're talking about sun flares and stuff.
I am not. I'm talking about the energy because it's a conscious parenting show.
That's true.
So I'm talking about the energy on the planet. So you, okay, the bottom, let me the bottom line.
Bottom line it, baby.
The bottom line is you cannot get away with your crap anymore.
Amen. None of us can.
You can't get away with your crap.
That's right.
Is that bottom line enough for you?
We're like in the police lineup, guilty, 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 every time something goes awry.
So we are on YouTube. If you want to reach us, YouTube, my channel is Sandra Jones Keller. We have done Facebook before, but today we are on YouTube. So if you would like to see us and join us, or you can just continue to email your questions. And I like talking about the energy because people don't realize that, you know, people say, oh, it feels like things are getting faster and faster. Well, they are.
You got a good point there.
Yeah, I know I do.
The extremes we see in the political arena are just a result of this energy that's been pouring in now for actually years and decades, and it's getting so intense energetically that people are just either going crazy are acting crazy or getting their life together. There's really very little in between.
Yeah, and so as parents, our leeway is like this anymore.
Right.
Whereas growing up, I mean, there was no talk of conscious parenting.
Right.
It was like, you do as I say, and that's it.
That's it.
And, you know, if you miss
how
pain,
often
you got
did that
pain.
Style really work?
It made me afraid. No, it made me get better at not getting caught.
Exactly.
You know, and it made me afraid of adults, and it did not foster a sense of trust or comfort.
And I didn't stop doing any of the things I got spanked for. I just hid it.
Yeah, you get better at hiding it, and then you become an adult, and you're terrified of getting in trouble still because you haven't learned to process it, and it's, like, still in you. So conscious parenting is cleaning up our own stuff, and I'm going to talk. So, and, you know, the kids coming in are different than when we were being raised. And have you noticed that your kids are different? They think more globally. They seem more advanced. So those old dominating parenting techniques just don't work on them.
Mm-hmm.
They'll, like, look at you. It's like, yeah, you know, I don't think so. Because they have a connection, and there's an awareness and an intuitiveness that I know I didn't have as a kid. So if you're trying to bring all of these old parenting techniques and dealing with your new age kids,
mm-hmm.
it creates power struggles. It creates stress. It creates anxiety. And then you are trying to run your own agenda, and your kid's not interested.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, oh, they're uncooperative. They're this. They're that. They're misbehaving. Because you're trying to run your agenda and not partnering with them, not being a way shower. So what did you grow up with? I know you talked about were you raised with conscious parenting? Or
I was raised in Western Kentucky. I incarnated to Western Kentucky. No, my dad was it was authoritarian style and a lot of spankings and
mm-hmm.
What was children are to be seen and
not heard?
That's a trippy statement if you think about it. And so a lot of that and the belt, you know, the belt and the whip.
Oh, wait, and you know what I love is that this hurts me more than it hurts you. Oh, bullshit.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
It hurt me really bad. I don't see how it could hurt you worse than me.
You know, like all those, you know, old sayings.
Oh, what was it? The something, never mind.
What about the spare the rod?
Spare the rod, spoil the
child.
If I don't beat you, you'll be spoiled.
You know, my mom has actually said something about, yeah, you know, Mecca seems very spoiled or something. I'm like, what does that even mean? What does that mean? Because
she's a kind person, got a nice personality.
She's not bratty.
Your mom was seeing something that she thought we weren't doing.
Maybe so.
And made it up. You know what? We have also always raised our daughter to be as honest as she possibly could. And so we've never laid the guilt on to, respect your parents respect your elders and all that kind. It's like if you respect your elder, it's because you choose to or that person is honorable to be respected. So she didn't have that filter of just BSing you and trying to make things okay. She's just been blatantly honest her entire life, and so it catches a lot of people and your mother off guard. I remember when it did, and she was offended that we wouldn't walk with her, and she tried to lay guilt on our daughter to make her walk with her, and we never laid that guilt on her, so it doesn't compute in her head.
It just doesn't compute.
Doesn't compute.
What are you talking
about? I'm not going to go that slow. I'll see you at the car.
Okay, so why do you choose to parent consciously? Because as I read earlier, there are four major types or main types of parenting styles per the National Institutes of Health. So why do you choose to parent consciously? Because you could choose something else.
Because I am a conscious person ascending in my own consciousness, working my own evolution of consciousness, and therefore why would I not conscious parenting? Because the growth and evolution of my consciousness is the primary motivating factor in my life.
Okay, well, you took your glasses off, so that should I read this then? Shelley in Seattle. I was raised by extremely authoritarian parents, so when I became a mom, I swung the opposite way. Not uninvolved, but too permissive. I guess that's the word. How do we shift to a different style midway through raising my kids?
Well, I'll say this.
Okay, you say that, and then I'll say mine.
What's your name?
Put your glasses on. You know you can't see. Like, why are you swinging?
Shelley, the mere fact that you emailed in to us, it says that you're already on the conscious parenting path. Or you wouldn't even be considering this idea. I don't think you have to do anything different right now. Just continue on your path. And the major hindrance to our conscious evolution is guilt.
Good.
So do whatever you can to not allow any guilt from your previous parenting to stay on your back. Do a lot of forgiveness work for all that stuff you may have done earlier in your life. You didn't know any better at the time. That's what I always tell myself. And when I'm doing my forgiveness.
You have a lot to do.
And so you're here now today, and you're more awake than you've ever been, and that will be reflected in your children. And just keep going. But my wife does have a couple great books.
So Tips and Tricks of Parenting a New Age Kid, and it is my latest book. And this is a series of essays of our journey of consciously parenting our daughter. So it's certainly not a how-to book. It's personal stories of how I came up with her bedtime, how we dealt with tantrums, how we dealt with, you know, a myriad of different things.
Mm-hmm.
It's got homeschooling stories in here. And so I wrote this book as a resource, Shelley, for parents that are looking for a different way. And parents are desperate because they have these wise old souls in front of them, and they're recognizing that the tools that they've been taught aren't necessarily supporting them in raising these kids. And my other book is 21 Lessons to Empower the New Age Kid. And this is a series of 21 lessons. And the cool thing about this book was developed in my daughter's homeschool co-op. And she helped me develop these lessons. And this is about teaching your kids agency over light in their life. 21 lessons, and I talk about belief. I talk about blame versus responsibility. There's a meditation in there. There's a gratefulness. And they're meant to be done as conversations. So this is a great starting point in tips and tricks of parenting a new age kid. I talk about mirroring. And inside of the stories, you actually get an experience of how we use mirroring in our parenting.
And both are available on Amazon by searching Sandra Jones Keller.
So thank you, Shelley in Seattle. It's not too late.
It's
never too late. Forgive yourself. And then if there's anything to clean up with your kids, clean it up. You know, it's like, look, I was raised in an authoritarian household. When I became a mom, I swung too far left.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I'm finding center. So we're going to start doing different. We're going to start doing it differently. Find, you know, my books are here to support you because this is a journey. You know, it's an evolutionary process. We're doing the best we can with what we have at the time. And as we learn more, we do better.
Mm-hmm.
So you are where you are, Shelley. Like Thomas said, forgive yourself. Don't let the guilt creep in. Because it's never too late. Even if your kids are 18 and 19, it's never too late to start consciously parenting. Yeah.
And if you're anything like me, and even though you know better than to let the guilt gets in, don't make yourself wrong for letting the guilt in. That's just double guilt on top of guilt.
Yeah. Thank you, Shelley in Seattle. You want to read Hannah in Toronto?
Yes, sure.
Put the glasses on so you can see.
Yes, Hannah in Toronto. My eldest son has been diagnosed with ADHD. You got the cursor. He's 9, turning 10 next month. I was wondering what your opinion is of medications for kids and treating ADHD.
So, we have always taken a more holistic approach. If there's a more natural way to do it, we found it. We go to a holistic chiropractor that not only does adjustments, but they do internal organ manipulation. They do cranial sacral stuff, and they prescribe herbs. So I would start there, but keep in mind that your child first and foremost is a spiritual being. And so the personality has ADHD, but the soul is whole, perfect, and complete. And so what you can do at night is you can begin to communicate with your child's higher self, asking what they need, asking for guidance, asking for the right resources, asking for help and support. So that you know that you're doing what's right for your child. Yes, they may have ADHD on this physical level, but they are always whole, perfect, and complete as spirit. So start dealing with their higher self. Start asking for guidance. Start communicating with them in their dreams so that you can find what's right for you and your family.
And I don't know if you meditate or not, but if you were to take up meditating and start with that, that would calm you down inside, which I'm sure this with your son is causing you a lot of stress. Mm-hmm. And you're calming down yourself inside is going to create an environment that's mm-hmm. even more calmer so that your son walks into that space and he's automatically more calm mentally, physically, emotionally, just because of your mm-hmm. effect.
Yeah, you can learn to ground yourself. And grounding is like a ship in the ocean. When it pulls into port, it drops its anchor so that it doesn't go drifting out to sea. And so when you're not grounded, you can feel scattered. You can feel disconnected from yourself, from your family. You can feel like you just can't connect with your own intuition. So you start grounding yourself. You start meditating. You start asking for guidance from your higher self to your son's higher self and find the right path for you that works for you. And if medication is right for you, then, you know, you do what's right for your family and your heart, because ultimately you have to live with the situation and you have to live with the consequences. And so inside of conscious parenting, a key part is connecting with your intuition so that you're being guided. Because in this, you know, third dimensional world, there's a lot of noise, and sometimes it's hard to hear what's the best thing to do, or you're being told so many things by all these sources. So you want to ground yourself, you want to get quiet, so that you can hear the guidance that's there for you. Yeah.
And then one last thing about that is, you know, if he does have to take medications temporarily or what, you can always just bless the medication and say in your mind, you know, just bless it and love it, and then it will do little to no harm to him. You can actually do the same thing with vaccines as well if you choose to have them.
So thank you, Hannah, in Toronto. Let's see if we have any other questions. Let's see. And so what I have been doing, and it'll be on my website shortly, is I'm going to be starting online conscious parenting circles so that you can be with like-minded parents who want to learn these principles, who want to learn mirroring, who want to learn universal law, who want to learn how to parent from that place. So go to my website, sandrajoneskeller.com, to sign up if you're interested. They will be starting in the next couple of weeks, and it'll be a place where I'll teach you how to ground yourself. So that'll be like the first thing we do. That's what I do with all of my clients, is I teach them how to ground themselves. So we'll do a grounding. We'll do a meditation, and then you can bring your conscious parenting questions to the group to not only be answered by me, but by other parents who may be experiencing something similar. Because oftentimes when you're trying to step out of the norm, when you're trying to do something different, you may receive negative feedback. And so this is a place where you can feel safe, where you can learn to spread your wings and try out these principles that may not be totally accepted by everyone. And you'll learn to grow strength and confidence in your decision-making process so that if you receive negative feedback from those around you, you'll know how to handle it, and you'll have the support of other people. So sandrajoneskeller.com. My books are available on amazon.com, 21 Lessons to Empower the New Age Kid, Tips and Tricks of Parenting a New Age Kid, Intuitive Communication with Your Baby's Soul. And so my books will actually create a foundation for conscious parenting paradigm. You start with intuitive communication. If you're pregnant, you get to experience the intelligence of this being, the specialness that they chose you as their mother, as their father, to come into this life. So these are sacred contracts. And so once you know that, you automatically begin to parent differently because you have an experience of them as an intelligent being. And then you can move into tips and tricks, because this goes from 0 to 15 years old. And my daughter actually wrote 5 stories. Thomas wrote 1 story. So there's a lot of stories in here. It's a family labor of love. And it's great for younger kids also, because there's pictures and illustrations. So I've got pictures of Mecca, and you can see how she changes over the years. Thomas did these amazing original illustrations. So it's a fun book. It's a family book. You can leave it on the coffee table and have discussions about it. Time to start wrapping up.
56 here.
So thank you so much for joining us.
Mecca, Is there anything you'd like to say as we close?
No.
She's a woman of few words. I love it. And so we've come to the end of our show. So usually the Conscious Parenting Show is live the second Friday of each month, so I know it's the third Friday, but we're here with you. Check out the archives. We have 23 other shows in the archives for your listening pleasure. Tell all your friends. If you're interested in participating in a Conscious Parenting Circle, I will have that up on my website in a couple of days, and you can find out more information about that. SandraJonesKeller.com. So thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, Thomas and Mecca. It's a pleasure. And, you know, it's so cool that we get to do this together.
Yes.
We've raised our daughter together, and now we're sharing our stories together.
Right.
So please visit the News for the Soul archives for more enlightening shows. And tell all your friends, because, you know, the more people that we can have conscious parenting, the better off the world is.
And the easier it gets.
And the easier it gets.
For everyone.
Yeah, when you have support, when you have love, when you don't feel like you're crazy because you don't want to do all of these things that these other parenting books say to do.
Mm-hmm.
So once again, thank you so much for joining us. And until next time, happy parenting.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.